I don't believe anyone has ever turned to the Old Testament and read the prophet Amos and said, well, there's a sunny fellow. It's not as though he was trying to deceive anyone or intentionally make anyone sad or miserable or sorrowful. He was just a prophet who was oftentimes called on to deliver heavy, difficult, and taxing messages. And so when he says, why are you longing for the day of the Lord to come? Do you not assume that it's going to bring more trouble? Because you should. He is telling them, I love the example. The day of the Lord is like a man who ran from a lion, and in doing so ran smack dab into a bear. Which I got to say, I feel like is pretty much the way my life goes about half the time. We think that there is something that is causing us great trouble that we've just figured a way around, and then, of course, we run smack dab into a bear. That's life, isn't it? Amos says, you expect the day of the Lord to be a day of brightness and light? No, I tell you instead, it will be a day of darkness. I read that, and I'm mindful. I'm mindful of Jesus' time on the cross. I'm mindful of Jesus' last words. I'm mindful of Jesus' last acts. But I'm far more mindful of what happened as he was on the cross dying. We are told that there was an eclipse of the sun. The day became like nighttime, and it was dark. It was the day of the Lord. And truly, very few people in Jerusalem were ready for it. They were ready for a lot of things. They were ready for a Savior who was going to show up, who was going to be a political figure or a military figure. They were ready for the return of King David, the great warrior, priest, poet. Instead, they got Jesus. They were not ready for Jesus. They were not ready to hear a message that neither condemned the Romans nor praised the temple. Instead, Jesus came proclaiming a message to the people of Israel, Jerusalem, and by extension, the word, the whole of the world, that we might be looking for something different, that we should be waiting for something different. We should be expecting something different, and most importantly, we should take our joy and our hope in something different. Neither the powers of the temple nor the might of the army. He said, you're not going to get another King David to sit on the throne. Even though Jesus' birth and his childhood even all very much mirrored the life of David. However, they were not ready. Which is pretty much what Amos was saying was going to happen. They were not ready for Jesus when he came because they were not ready for what God was going to do, which was so much greater than what they expected. And I feel like sometimes in our lives, that's the exact same problem. We want God to fix the things that are wrong in our life. We want God to help us with the things that we want help with. We want God to intercede for us where we need God to intercede for us, but we only want him to go so far. We only want him to get this far into our life so as we're comfortable with the things that were wrong and they become right. We don't want him to go all the way into our lives because it starts changing our expectations, it starts changing our perceptions, it starts changing us. We want God's help as far as Israel wanted God's help. Israel wanted God's help just enough to get them financially on their feet and make them rich and powerful again. They were not looking for the day of the Lord to come, as Amos prophesied. Because when Jesus came, he turned their world upside down. He completely changed everything that they were expecting was going to happen. He said, the temple that you have spent your whole life worshiping in, no longer where God will be present. The nation of Israel that you have spent your whole lives being proud of being a member now is open to the entirety of the population of the whole world. The oppression of the Roman government has been ignored because the oppression of sin has been eliminated. Christ came to produce for Israel so much more than it thought that it was ready for. So much more than what it wanted. Christ's grace was uncomfortable. And Amos gives an uncomfortable prophecy. And I think as Christians, we want God's grace to be comfortable. We want it to tell us that we are saved, and that's good. But we don't want it to go much further than that. We don't want it to transform us. Not to the point that we stop being able to do the things we want to do, be the people we want to be. One of the things that every military force that's ever existed does is when it brings its new members in, it teaches them a new way of being. You know, it's like they say, there's a right way to do a thing, there's a wrong way to do a thing, and then there's the army way to do a thing. And when you go through basic training, you're going to learn the army way of doing a thing. I was talking to a fellow who was a military fellow the other day about the difference between life in the army and life outside of the army. He says, one of them is, he says, I bet you have no fear of carrying anything in your right hand. He said, why would I have a fear of carrying something in my right hand? He says, well, you never have to worry about passing a superior officer and having that hand free to salute, do you? He said, oh, no, I never really thought about that being something I had to do. He says, boy, let me tell you what, you carry stuff in your left hand just in case. He says, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that. It's not a day-to-day thing. He says, oh, and one more thing. He says, those darn Air Force guys, they can put their hands in their pockets. So they can put their hands in their pockets. They can put their hands in their pockets. I said, how's that not a thing? He says, well, they're the only branch of the United States military where you're allowed to stand with your hands in your pockets. He says, you can't do that unless you're Air Force. Why not? I don't know. It's the Army way of doing things. That's the answer. Why does building number 3 stand next to building B-37256? I don't know. It's the Army way of doing things. So when you enter into the United States military, you are given not just training. You are given the understanding that now it is an essential part of your identity. That you do things the way that the military does things. You see things the way the military sees things. You value things the way the military values things. You don't carry stuff in your right hand. No civilian is ever going to think that thought. It stays with you. When Amos says, are you really ready for the day of the Lord? Part of that is with the understanding that being a part of the kingdom of God, being saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, means that we have our perception of life fundamentally changed. There is a right way to do things, a wrong way to do things, and there's God's way to do things. And that for those of us who are a part of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which Paul tells us promises us life everlasting in today's New Testament lesson, we are reminded that being a part of the kingdom of God means it changes our identity. I don't know if you know this, but you never say to someone who entered into the United States Marine Corps, were you a Marine? Because that the answer is no, they were not a Marine. They are a Marine. They'll tell you, I am a Marine. Stays with them, that identity, it's lifetime. Changes who you are. We are to be a people who are changed. That we see things through God's eyes. We understand things through God's law. We behave according to God's grace. We are transformed by God's power. We no longer are a part of this world, but instead we are a part of the kingdom of God. It may change how we behave. I hope it changes how we behave. It better change how we behave, because I've seen the rest of the world. And let me tell you what, there's definitely a wrong way to do things. We as human beings are very good at finding out what that is. We are to be those who are transformed, changed, no longer a part of this world, ready. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like 10 people who went out to wait for a bridegroom. Back then, weddings were big events. It would go on for days and days and days. Sometimes the bride and the groom would be days apart to travel. So the groom would have to spend time traveling. It was part of the wedding party's job to welcome them, to make sure they got where they were going. And it is in this parable that Jesus says there were 10 bridesmaids, 10 welcomers, whose job it was to make sure the groom got to where he was going. 5 of them were prepared, 5 of them weren't. 5 of them who were prepared went with the bridegroom into the wedding and there enjoyed the blessings of the same. The 5 who were not prepared were left out in the cold. This is a serious and difficult message. It is a reminder to us that being those 5 who are ready means that we are already following the kingdom. We are already following the Lord. We are already letting the Holy Spirit transform our identities to see the world through God's eyes. There is, in this world, no easy way to be a Christian. Because if we are those who have been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're called to a radical form of love. We're called to a radical form of forgiveness. We are called to a radical form of accepting our forgiveness. We are called to a radical form of grace, mercy, forgiveness, and new life. I always say this, that Christianity is not for amateurs. It's for those who are professionals. That's why we say we profess our faith. And in professing our faith, we take upon ourselves the role of professionals. Just like our United States military is a bunch of professionals. We have to be those who are professing our faith and practicing it. Not on occasion, but as a lifestyle. We are saved. We're saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved by Jesus' act on the cross, and by faith we enter into that salvation. And faith alone. We must be ready for the fact that as we enter into that salvation, it shall transform our perspective and our persona. We are no longer who we were before the cross saved us. We are now those who profess faith in Christ Jesus and are ready to listen, to follow, and to obey. Amen.